Right. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right down here at our Greenwood Library this afternoon, and there are exciting things always happening at the library. Summer is coming. There's going to be all kinds of summer programs. But today, we are going to be talking about the Dream Literacy Grant that was gotten back the end of January, and they have been working and getting things set up, and so I thought, what could be better than to come down here and see what's going on? And I have Patty Fender here, who is running this program here. She works with the ESL, and I also have Prudence here. Of course, she is the executive director of the library. And Prudence, why don't you tell us, how did this grant come about?
Well, Patty actually found the grant online. We had received an American Dream Literacy Grant once before in 2012, the first starting our program. We were not eligible to apply for a couple of years, but we were eligible to apply this year, and it's funded by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation, and they work with the American Library Association to fund different literacy projects for adults around the country. And Patty, I believe you said we were one of 16 libraries to receive the grant. So we used it to purchase materials, to update our materials for our literacy program, and we also used it to develop a digital literacy center.
Well, Prudence, you know, I would think that to be one of, there were 100 libraries across the country, and we are one of 16 to get this $10,000 grant. How does that make you feel, Prudence?
It makes me feel amazing. But we have a great staff. Patty and our reference librarians who teach computer literacy skills, had a lot of input in the grant, and I think that's what pushed us over the top. Their passion for the project showed through. And I mean, I'd love to tell you I'm that wonderful a writer, but I know myself, and I know I'm not.
Always deprecating Prudence here on with us on the radio this afternoon. No, but it takes a team to put it together. It takes a team to make things come together. And, Patty, I know that you have been working with the library for how long now?
I have been here since September of 2017, so almost 2 years.
And what have you seen with the literacy program and everything here?
Well, the program was well developed and was already in place when I came on board in 2017. And so basically what I have tried to do is just continue what was already in place and then expand on that. And so we have grown as far as our numbers of volunteers go and our numbers of students, of course, which is primary focus for the students, both adult literacy students and English as a second language. Has grown relatively significantly over the last 2 years. I've also implemented a new training for our volunteers. Some volunteers do adult literacy, other volunteers teach or tutor the English as a second language, but through an organization called Pro Literacy, I have used their curriculum to develop a pretty extensive volunteer training. So I feel like our volunteers are very well.
Well, that has to give them a sense of feeling confident when they go to try to teach, because just to hand somebody a book and say, here you go, that's kind of tough.
It is. And many of our volunteers do not have a professional, they were not teachers. Their background is not in education and teaching. And so they were a little hesitant. They were, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. And when they first called and said, well, I think I might like to do this. And so I always try to reassure them that we have adequate training. We have great resources. We can prepare them to become a really first class tutor. And they all of my tutors are.
Well, I would think that would make somebody stay with tutoring too. If you felt confident about what you're doing, you wouldn't say, "Oh, I can't do this. I'm giving it up." Right?
Yeah, I think we've had a very high retention rate with the tutors over the last year and a half. We've had quite a number of new tutors come in due to the training, and all of those folks are still tutoring with us. And so hopefully they feel like they have adequate training and they have what they need to in order to help the students, which is the number one thing we try to do.
That's right. And you have a teacher background.
I do. I hold a secondary teaching certification in English in both South Carolina and North Carolina. But my primary teaching background was here in Greenwood at Piedmont Tech. I taught in their developmental English and reading and college skills program there for many years, and then came here.
Sounds like a good catch to me there, Prudence. Well, that is great. So when this grant that y'all got, though, what exactly does it do, Patty? You want to tell me about it?
All right. The grant's primary focus is on digital literacy and computer skills for adult literacy students. So that, when I say adult literacy students, for us, that actually means an adult who reads at a third grade, well, really below a fifth grade level. But many of our students come in initially reading at a third grade level or below. So that's considered low literacy.
And they do have to be adults.
Yes, they have to be at least 18 or older to come to use our service. So the computer skills and digital literacy program that we've developed and the reference librarians certainly have helped me develop are for adult literacy students and for English as a second language students who are perhaps beginning speakers of English and so do not understand. They may understand more than they can speak, but certainly the vocabulary associated with computers may not be something that they have in English just yet, and so they need assistance with that. And we have created a dedicated digital literacy lab space just for these students. And the curriculum that we've developed is just for literacy and ESL students as well. Which is separate from our other computer classes we teach. So it's just dedicated for our student population.
You know, Prudence, the computer aspect at a library is really something else, isn't it? You would have, we think of library and books and this type of thing, but of course you've got a whole computer. That's where people go that don't have a computer access. They can come here and use the library. But I'm also interested because you're talking about people maybe that don't actually can't read that well, but they still have to have access to computers and use computers, and that's really what this is about, isn't it?
Yes, this has. We feel that this will have a good, positive impact on Greenwood economically. Greenwood County, economically speaking. Our students will learn to. Our students will create an email address, which you have to have. They will learn how to search for a job safely online through the library's website. They will learn to successfully complete an online job application. And they'll learn how to create a resume if they need to do that. We can help them with that. Hopefully, they will become employed or even get a better job, a better paying job, so that instead of working two jobs that neither one of them pays very well, they'll have one job that pays well. These are goals that a lot of our ESL students have set for themselves. They came here to this country for a better life, for a different life, that we want to help them achieve it. That's part of the goal of the American Dream Foundation, Dream Grant. That was one reason these literacy grants were established by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the American Library Association.
You know, we really can't say enough about Dollar General, can we, and how they came on board. I know our first experience with them was with the Mango program, and I didn't realize, because I knew that I could take a class in any language that I wanted when you first were talking about that, but I didn't realize it actually started for ESL students.
I didn't even know we'd gotten the grant, and I was talking to the sales rep from Mango, and I said, we can't do anything because we have applied for a grant to help pay for this. And he couldn't tell me that we had gotten the grant. So But it was wonderful because you have something like that, and you have a primary focus for it, but then it turns out that focus can be expanded so that it's not limited only to a particular part of your population. It becomes of use to everyone. Maybe someone's planning a trip to Paris, and they want to learn how to speak enough French to dicker in a flea market.
Like Prudence?
Yeah, like me. Yeah.
You want the problem.
I'll play that. But then you've got someone who's homeschooling a student, and the student says, the child says, I think I would like to learn French. Well, they could try out for free the library's Mango French program, and if they do well with it and stick with it, maybe the parent will be willing or see that there's a reason to invest in a more structured program for their child. We did have one man whose children are, well, his grandchildren actually, are Chinese. And they're very young, and he wanted to be able to converse with them and to be able to read a story to them. And he was able to accomplish that through using Mango. Also, it helped him at the airport. He learned enough to read a book to his grandchildren. He learned enough to tell them it was time to go to bed and to eat their supper, and he learned enough to get a taxi at the airport.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Right, yeah. And so here we are, and that was back in, what, 2012? Is that right? Yes. And we still have this program, yes. Do we have the Mango program? Yeah, I mean, so it is a terrific program. If you haven't, all you have to do is have a library card, right, Prudence? Just a library card, and you can have access to so many different things. So check that out. But that's why, I guess, why we're so excited, because this has been able to be expanded with this grant. And, Patty, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the things? I mean, what is that big thing right there? It looks like a big TV to me.
Well, our big ticket item is called an active panel smart screen. And essentially what it is it's a really gigantic tablet, although you can do other things on it as well. It can access the internet, so it has a built-in Wi-Fi, so we can get online. It can become a whiteboard, so I can actually right on the screen. I can type things and upload them into Google Documents, and then I can show it on the screen, and we can highlight or circle.
Sounds like any high-tech school room.
Yeah, it is. It's great. I could say we can do a lot of really neat things with it. The one thing that I really enjoyed using it for with my, I teach an ESL class on Thursday morning that currently has about 7 students in it from lots of different countries. It's a very interesting class. But we use a newspaper, again, that comes through us to us from Pro Literacy Organization. It's called News for You. And we have a digital subscription to it as well. So we basically get the print copy and the digital subscription, and I can pull the digital copy of the newspaper up on the screen, and so they can read it on the screen and read it on paper. And we can do crossword puzzles, and we can do word searches on the screen, and we can listen to the news story being read, which sometimes is helpful when it's read in something other than my Southern accent. And and it allows all of our students to understand what the story, you know, is saying, because, again, we can't, those students come from several different countries, and so...
So this is like being at the UN, right? You can all have your own, coming into your own ear, hear the different languages?
Well, I hear the different languages when they speak, with their accents, but it's actually read in English, of course. Yeah, it's read in a very Midwestern, non-inflected accent. So sometimes when it's me, Southern Patty, reading it, they can't always understand me. It's not the other way around. I understand them very well as them understanding me.
That's very interesting. So you can have a Hispanic person with a Southern accent.
All of my students will probably leave here, yes, speaking with very nice Southern accent.
Oh, okay. So nobody should feel that their accent would limit them from being a teacher in helping with this.
No, not at all. Not at all.
All right. So you have the big screen there, and then you actually have individual laptops for the students to work with too.
Yes, we do. We have up to 10 laptops that can now be dedicated to our computer skills and digital literacy classes. So when we have those classes, each student will have their own laptop here in our learning lab, and that is what they will learn on as far as learning basic computer skills, and then the more advanced skills like setting up their email, doing the online job applications, and hopefully eventually doing a resume.
You know, these are things in today's world that we just really don't think are a stress. I mean, you know, you can go to Gmail and set up an email, right? I mean, we don't think it's a problem. But for somebody that hasn't, it is a big problem. When we come back after the break, I want to talk about some of the things that make it different for somebody using a computer that doesn't even read that well. We're going to talk about some of those aspects. We're going to be talking about how you can get involved in helping with this program. Patty has a dream, and she wants your help to fulfill that dream. So I hope you'll stay right with us right here on WCRS. Andy, let's hear a couple of commercials, hear the news, and then bring it back, and I'll be ready to chat some more with you right here live from the Greenwood Library right here in Greenwood, South Carolina.
The antique vintager has arrived in Greenwood. He's been in Greenwood, but he's been incognito. Now unveiled for the very first time, the antique vintager, the one and only Jeff Eller, is debuting on the national stage with his podcast. Shouldn't you be one of the first to come in and see him and see what you have with What's It Worth? Can you sell it? Do you want to sell it? And should you sell it? Only the antique vintager can tell you such things. So come and see us at 637 Durst Avenue East. Call first for your appointment. 864-229-6613. The antique vintager, Jeff Eller, is in the building.
Oh, that's right. We're right here at the Greenwood Library. We're in the ESL computer lab. Would that be correct there, Patty?
Well, it's the Adult Literacy and ESL Digital Learning Lab, yes.
The Digital Learning Lab. I've got it now. Okay. You know, while we were not on the air, Prudence, you and I and Patty were talking about some of the problems that you found in your own computer lab out there because some people that would come in to use the computers didn't realize they had to have an email, or they may not have even known how to really work with a computer. It was frustrating for them, and it was frustrating for the one person that was handling the lab. And how many computers do you have out there?
We have 38 computers. People come in, most of the time people come in to do something work-related. Now, we do have students who are taking online classes or taking tests, things like that. We have people who are writing novels, who are writing poetry. The computers are used in a lot of different ways. Most people use for some kind of work-related thing. But what we found was that some people would come in and they would sign in to use a computer and they'd look at you and say, I've never used a computer, I'm going to need a lot of help. And what we found was that they could not get to the website they wanted to go to. They wanted to apply for a job, but they did not know they needed to have an email address. They did not know that they had to answer every question on an online job application. And they couldn't fill out. They couldn't successfully complete an online job application. And you have to be able to do things online now if you want to work as a fry cook at McDonald's, if you want to get a job cleaning parking lots at night, the job itself may not require reading skills or digital literacy skills, but you've got to apply online, and you have to be able to read to complete that job application. So we thought that this, creating a digital literacy center, creating a literacy curriculum, a digital curriculum, would address some of those needs and solve some of those problems.
So by creating this here, you now have a place for ESL students to really get to know about computers and an environment that's inviting, I guess we could say, Patty, right? Yeah. So, but what are some of the problems for people who don't read, may not have been able to be on the computer? You know, when we were off the break, Prudence was talking about it's not only people that are... maybe they had to drop out of school because of a parent. They had to help out at home. Things that we don't always think about, but they're real issues for people that are dealing with today. So when we're talking about bringing somebody in on a computer that has not even, maybe even looked at one, maybe their child has had one, and maybe they've looked at it in awe and stood back and said, nothing I'm going to touch. What are some of the things that you're having to deal with, and how do you teach this to people that have never opened or looked at a computer?
Well, it, you know, there are a couple of obstacles that have to be overcome for an adult who is not necessarily a very good reader, so for an adult who has a low literacy level. It can be quite a challenge because there may be some difficulty in recognizing all of the letters of the alphabet. There may be some difficulty in recognizing words like enter or shift or tab. And so we start out with a very basic, how to turn the computer on, and then we do some dedicated keyboard work. And so many people have to overcome two things. They have to overcome the fact that they are not proficient in reading just yet, and they have to learn keyboarding skills. So that takes time, and that is not something that's going to be accomplished in one session in the computer class. That will have to be something that they have an opportunity to come back in and practice on an ongoing basis.
Do you have that set up so they can do that yet?
I'm in the process of trying to do that. I'm in the process of trying to keep our digital literacy lab open at least at some point all 5 days of the week. But I do need volunteers who will be able to assist me with that, who can be here in the lab as people come in or as our students come in. This would not be a lab that's open to the general public. This would just be students in the program or students in our digital leaders classes. I need a volunteer who can come in and would be willing to assist those students. Just come in and practice some very basics. It may just be supporting. It may be assistance. Setting up an email, it could be assistance in helping them format their resume if they get to that point. But all of these skills have to be practiced over time, and a lot of it is repetition, and certainly the keyboarding and the learning to recognize the letters and the words on the keyboard is a repetition thing, and so that can help them not only with their computer skills, but it can also help them with their literacy skills because it helps reinforce what the other skills that they may be learning with as far as recognizing letters and learning sight words and increasing their sight word vocabulary and things of that nature.
So have you had to develop a program to teach this? Have you had to develop? Is there something already out there that's already put together, or how does this work?
As part of the grant fund, with some money dedicated to purchasing some digital literacy books, which were available geared towards adult literacy students and English as a second language students. So we did purchase a classroom set of those that we use in the classes. I and our reference librarian, primarily Jessica Howard, took the information in those books and sort of created her own lesson plans with that. And her own handout so that it was simplified, I think, even more, you know, just for these beginning, very basic computer classes. So it was sort of a group effort. But Jessica primarily worked on the computer-based component of curriculum. I am more here in those particular classes to assist the students as she is teaching the actual lesson.
So if you were looking for volunteers, and you say you are, what exactly do you need in volunteers?
Actually, I need volunteers who might like to tutor adult literacy students, so they would be assisting in helping an adult learn how to read or learn to improve their present reading skills. Some of our students come in, and what their ultimate goal is to take the GED. And so once we get them to a certain level, then they usually go on to adult basic education through district 50. But we can help them up to that point, get, you know, increase their reading levels so they're able to manage those more advanced materials. And so I need volunteers to help with literacy instruction.
How much do you need in help, or what type of flexibility, if somebody wants to volunteer, do you have?
Well, basically, I try to work with the volunteer schedule. So they, you know, once they come in and they decide if they want to be a literacy volunteer, or also need volunteers who want to work with ESL, English as a second language student, and then again with the digital literacy lab. But it's based on the volunteer schedule. So when they come in and we're going through the program and getting information, I always ask them, what days and times are you available? What do you prefer? They can choose to work with just one student, so that would be a one-on-one tutoring situation, or they can choose to work teach a small group class. It's really up to them. And I have a couple of volunteers who do both. They work one-on-one with one student, and then they teach small group classes right now in the East.
And all of that's done right here at the library.
Yes, it's all done here at the library on the second floor, here in the Digital Learning Lab or in our study room. Yes, we have our facilities are really, really good here, and they are really set up well for a tutoring session or for a small group class.
How do you get people who know that they need this help? How do you get the clients?
Well, with the English as a second language students, it's pretty easy because they know they move to Greenwood and they very quickly realize they need to learn to speak English if they're beginning speakers. We have many of our students are quite advanced speakers and certainly read English. Well, we have a lot of university graduates in their home country who come to us because they need to their fluency. They need to work on fluency and pronunciation and those sorts of things. And so they know that themselves. With our adult literacy students, a lot of that is word of mouth, and of course we do do public service announcements and advertise in the paper now and then.
And on the radio.
And on the radio, yes. Certainly. I'm sorry. But again, most adult literacy students understand that they need help with their reading as well. That they could, you know, many of them are signing in their jobs.
I think just being able to read to your child, or to be able to, this is one that was pointed out to me, to be able to read that medicine bottle and know when you're supposed to take the medications or give it to your child. Even though it comes in different languages, it's nice to be able to read it in English too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And those are some of the issues that do come up. Many of our literacy students come in because they want to be able to read to a child or a grandchild. Some come in because they want to be able to participate more fully in their Bible study or their church. They want to be able to read with the group as a whole. Some come in because they want a better job. Some come in because they want to apply for a job. Some of our students have never been able to have a job because they couldn't read well enough to come in. So everybody has a different goal, but the end result is the same, that they want to be here. So they're here because they want to improve their reading and ultimately improve their quality of life.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I always found very humorous, particularly when we had sharp facets, is the number of Hispanic people that would come in and the child would be the translator and the parents would just stand there. And I often thought, if the child wasn't really the child could be making money on the side here. This is $100, and I may have said it's $80, but they tell them it's $100, and they're pocketing $20 here. What a concept, right? Now, I don't know if they did that, but I often thought, you know, that they really were at a disadvantage because they could not speak, and they were at the mercy of that child telling them what we were saying.
That is sometimes the case. I've had, you know, a few ESL students come in for the initial interview and assessment, and their child came with them and had to interpret because, you know, I don't speak Spanish.
I was just going to ask you that.
I have two tutors who probably are proficient in Spanish, but we are an English immersion program, which means it's all English all the time. And again, we have people from a variety of countries, so it isn't just, I mean, the majority of our students are Spanish speakers, but not all of our students are Spanish speakers. We have folks from Vietnam, we have folks from Japan, I have from Brazil, from Spain, from the Ukraine, from Cambodia.
You need a map. You need a map. Do you have one?
The office actually has a little card, you know, from where everyone is from. So we have quite a variety of students.
Okay. All right. Well, Prudence, I know that that you are pleased to be able to be expanding this program. Do you have any visions for the future? Are there any big plans that you're futuristically thinking about for this expanding there, Prudence?
I'll have to get back to you on that, but it will depend on what Patty and the reference staff want to do, because everything we do as a team.
I think that's great. I know that volunteers are such an important part, and when you are trying to find volunteers, are there any particular skills that they need to have in order to help with this?
Yes, they do need to be proficient readers. That's important. But, you know, beyond that, there aren't any hard and fast requirements for that. They don't have to necessarily have teaching experience. Again, we do a lot of training, I think once, you know, they begin their tutoring session, I'm certainly always available as a resource for them as well. So it's essentially you need a desire to help someone, and of course need to be a proficient reader. Again, you do not have to speak the language of the students that you tutor if you wish to be in English as a second language too. Most of our tutors do not speak any other language but English. So.
Southern English.
I guess. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Well, you know, I think that this is great. Now, as far as the computer part of it, though, what are you looking for in volunteers for the computer part?
Yeah, for that, I do. A volunteer would need to be computer literate and proficient in the different aspects of computers. Again, from the very basic how to turn it on up to being proficient in Word, Microsoft Word, so they can help formatting on the resume portion, and certainly, of course, how to work through a job application. So, they need to have a certain amount of computer literacy themselves for that.
Okay. And what do they do, Patty? How do they get in touch with you?
They need to call me at 941-3044. That's my direct office number, and I'll be happy to talk with them anytime, or they can send me an email at tfender@greenwoodcountylibrary.org, and just let me know they're interested, and I'll get back in touch with them. They can keep an ear out for the radio announcements, and they can keep an eye on the paper because I do advertise when I'm getting ready to do a training. And
so they have to wait for a training?
Well, yes and no. Here's the thing. If I have a waiting list of students, which I do right now for both literacy and ESL students, and I really need some tutors, then I will sort of train with them one-on-one, and the training materials that we use are also available online if the volunteer is comfortable going online and doing that. We can do that. If in some instances I don't have a waiting list, then I will prefer them to wait until we do have training.
But how many people you got on your waiting list right now?
I have I have four literacy students who are waiting on a tutor, and I have probably four ESL students who are waiting on a tutor, and I am assessing two new ESL students this week whom I have not actually met in person yet. I'm checking with them via email. So,
what if somebody gets matched up with a student and they don't feel comfortable?
Then they just have to come talk to me about that, and we can work that out.
I know not everybody is a fit, right, Prudence?
And this goes both ways. This goes both ways for students and for tutors. If you're with somebody who makes you uncomfortable, you don't have to stay with that person. Just let Patty know, and she will make a change. The other thing is, all classes are held here at the library for a reason. We have tutor rooms where you can work privately. People can't tell what you're doing, but they're all glassed in, so there's a safety measure there. And then we have good parking, and we also have security officers on duty.
You know, I think that makes a difference for a lot of people to be able to do that. So, basically, pick up the phone, call Patty, not at this moment, she's on the air with me, but write this number down, 941-3044, that's 941-3044. We're going to have some closing thoughts here, but right now let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here at the Greenwood Library this afternoon, sitting in this lovely computer lab for, what is it called now? A
Digital Literacy Learning Lab.
Digital Literacy Learning Lab. DLLL. There you go. That would be the easy way to say it. But anyways, really is a nice, nice facility. This was all brought about through the American Literacy Association Dream Literacy Program, and it was through the generous support of Dollar General's Literacy Foundation. The program and classes are available through Second Start and are free of charge and help students learn basic reading and writing skills and learn to speak, read, and write English. And so through this American Literacy Library Association American Dream Literacy Initiative, boy, that's a mouthful, they are able to do this program, and it should make a big difference. You know, one of the things, Patty, we haven't even brought up was nearly 16% of the adult population in Greenwood County lacks basic literacy skills, and over 7% of Greenwood population speak a first language other than English.
Correct, yes, absolutely.
So as you move forward with this, what's going to be happening next? You've done your first class, I guess, correct?
Yes, we did our first basic literacy, basic computer literacy classes last week. And so again, what I hope to do over the coming, through, you know, certainly by the end of the summer, is make the literacy lab open and available a few hours each day, again, so our students, after they go through the classes, can come in and either practice the skills that they have learned in those classes, or they can continue, they can fill out an online job application, or they can work on the resume with assistance from one of our volunteers.
Right. So this is an invaluable first step for them to be able to get that job, and when they're able to get that job, then they're able to afford and take care of their family and or themselves in a much better situation than they are right now, because most jobs, you do have to be able to go online to fill out that first step application. So do you have any other groups coming in or classes coming in right now? Will they have another group starting?
We have not scheduled those classes yet. Likely will be perhaps towards the end of June. I'll have to look at my calendar as well as the reference librarian's calendar, too. But, yes, we will very shortly schedule another set of basic computer school classes. And then, again, we will be moving on to the more advanced fields like email and job applications as soon as possible.
That's terrific. I know that you're very pleased to be able to be over this program. I know you need volunteers to make the rest of this program come together, though, right?
Again, I can utilize volunteers in adult literacy with our ESL students and with our digital learning lab as well. It really only
you're listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Okay, Patty, go ahead.
Sorry. It takes, as far as the volunteers' time, there is training involved, especially for the literacy and the ESL tutoring. It's about 9 hours of training, which I normally do. We'll do 3 mornings a week. And then, of course, I do ongoing sort of continuing ed classes every now and then that are not mandatory, but most of the volunteers do take advantage of that. But on an ongoing basis, on a weekly basis, it takes about an hour to an hour and a half of a volunteer's time. You can tutor one time a week, or some of our volunteers do choose to tutor 2 times a week. But again, it's up to the volunteer, and we can work with.
And the other thing is, if you're going on vacation, that's not a problem. People sometimes think, oh, I've obligated for this. I can't take any time off. And so they don't want to do it because they want that vacation.
Exactly. But we can work with all of that. That's perfectly fine. Many of our volunteers are retirees, and so they do travel some. And just as long as I know ahead of time and the student knows and we all are on have communication, that is not an issue and that's not a problem. Actually, several of our volunteers do really sort of take the entire summer off. So after this week, they probably won't meet with their student again until the 1st of August. So again, it's up to the volunteer and the student, and I can work with that.
That's why it's called volunteer. But I think sometimes people forget that they are putting themselves, and so they don't sign up for something that they would find a love. Now, you know, just to wind this up, volunteers get a whole lot out of this. What have you gotten out of this as being a ESL teacher, helping people learn to read and everything? What has this program meant to you?
I think the first thing is that it has just given me the opportunity to meet a lot of people whom I would not have met otherwise. It's a real joy to meet people who have come into our community from other countries, not just other cities or other states, but other countries, and to learn, to hear their impression of America and what it means to them to actually be here now, and to learn about their cultures and to have the opportunity to teach them about the better parts of our culture. And so that has been I've really enjoyed that a lot. I enjoy working with our literacy students and watching them progress. I enjoy watching them gain the confidence. They come in sometimes very timid because it has been a very difficult life, not being able to read as well as a lot of people around them. But to watch that confidence bloom and for them to really make progress is really something. And so I really admire and respect all of our students very much because it's difficult. Not easy, either learning to read as an adult or learning to speak another language.
Well, absolutely, and if we put the shoe on the other foot, a lot of us wouldn't volunteer to stand up and go learn how to speak or read another language, right?
Right, exactly, yeah.
Particularly with a southern twang to it, right?
Exactly, yes.
All right. Well, we are here with Patty Fender. If this it sounds like something you would like to do, you can pick up that phone and call Patty, 941-3044. That's right here at the library. That's her direct line, 941-3044. You can leave a message for her. She will call you back. You can stop on by and see what they have done right here at the library. You know, that's the one thing about the Greenwood Library. It is always growing, expanding, and changing. It is a life force unto itself, and it takes people with inspiration to work as a team to pull these type of ideas together. In the coming weeks, we are going to talk with the Teen Center and also with the Children's Library and find out what they're up to and what's going on there. So I'm Ann Eller. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Patty Fender, thanks so much for taking time to talk to us this afternoon.
Oh, well, thank you for coming, Ann. I enjoyed it.
Fun. All right, that's going to do it for us. This is WCRS live at the Greenwood Library. Bye-bye, everybody.